If the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clover Crest Media Group and Rocky Hill Accountants. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. How are you guys doing?
Feeling good. Weekend, baby.
Sander, I'm so excited. It's Friday, and I love having our Friday shows as always. Has a big NBA to talk. You know, we got some COVID situation in New York going on. But like I said, I do want to start with what's going on in the NBA Finals, because guess what, guys? It is now officially a series. Both teams that handled their business at home, and it's now going to come down to the final three games of the regular season pride. And I'm so excited. You always want this for the NBA. The best, if it could get to seven, that's always the best case scenario. But now, as Phoenix has to hold out their home court, and then Milwaukee hopefully can go back to Milwaukee, handle what they got to handle. But in your estimation, who do you think has the best chance to win the title in these next three games?
I don't care. I'm done with the finals, bro. The cause I've been seeing is making me like question why basketball's even a sport. That's where I'm at right now. Like, if these both teams got to game seven on their own accord, great. I don't mind. It's to the point where Giannis is getting a wide open dunk and they're blowing the whistle. What am I supposed to do? Why the league then has the audacity to be like, why do people say that we're rigged? Yo, DeAndre Ayton is letting this dude, he gets somehow he's always in foul trouble. It's bizarre to me. This guy who throughout most of this regular season and playoffs somehow never struggled with fouls. All of a sudden in the finals, dude gets a foul just looking at Giannis.
Just looking at him.
Honestly, it's to the point where I'm on the verge of not watching no more. Honestly, I don't care who wins anymore, because the league is so desperate to make this seven games. So what if it's a five-game series? So what? I get it. They're going to cry about, oh, where, money. If that's your only excuse, you are a moron. Period. Because guess what? You have money on the offseason. You profit off the league pass. You profit off of endorsements. You still sell merchandise. You still be pushing stuff for y'all to do in the offseason. So y'all can still make money. So I don't want to hear this garbage about, oh, well, it's money. Like, no, no, it don't matter.
Real shit, Pride. If the series would have ended in five games, are there going to be less Giannis jerseys sold or less Booker jerseys sold? No.
None. Bro, in the offseason, they'd be selling the stupidest memorabilia I've ever seen in my life. Oh, yeah, bro. 18 years ago, this one random guy who never played, Brian Scalabrine, stepped on the floor. He only played 1 minute, and he scuffed the floor. We decided to cut that scuff mark off the court. We'll sell it to you. 18 stacks. Who won it? And then you got a whole bunch of guys.
Opening bid.
Yeah. Like, that blows my mind. I can't stomach it anymore. I can't even stomach it. And then Devin Booker, like, that last foul. That, first of all, Devin Deepa, you know you got five fouls. The fact that you jump for it shows me how stupid you truly are.
Yeah, like, he only thought he had like one or two.
Ain't no normal man with a normal head in that situation gonna jump and jinx it. That's number one. Number two, for the rest to not make that call, I'm telling you, it's to the point where, yo, give the refs jerseys. Let's throw them in there. Because it seems like they want to play. I just don't know. I don't really care, because at the end of the day, bro, the Suns are a better team. But when you have the refs like so eager to blow the whistle, does it really matter? Does it really matter about chance? Does it really matter like who's got the best odds when Giannis trips himself? Oh, whistle. Wait, but it was a fast break. Foul. Chris Paul, he on the bench. Oh, who on the court? Johnson? Foul on Johnson. That's what it seems like they're doing, bro. Like, they're desperately reaching, and it's like, bro, if it's a 5-6 game series, so what? If you're telling me losing three games is going to bankrupt the league, I'm asking for a friend. Because because this is a conversation that needs to happen, bro, because I'm getting, like, it's to the point where, like, these wild fouls, bro, it's to the point where we might as well just start having, like, no centers out there, leave the paint wide open. If a guy penetrates, let him dunk. Because every single time someone tries to contest, they blow the whistle. It's wild to me. I just had to get that off my chest, bro. Because it, like, watching these finals, bro, is just like the most, like, it's horrible. It's horrible. Now I see why Team USA get smacked, bro. Because if they want the followers if that's the type of followers they want, I could see why they get smacked, bro. Because in like international play, you don't get those followers.
No, we don't.
So now that everyone thinking that Chris Middleton and Devin Booker are gonna be our Lord and Savior, remember, just with them there, they're not gonna get them followers. So I just had to get that out the way. Now, who has the best chance of winning the next two games? If we're gonna look at it based on talent, the Suns. I mean, like, the Bucks look different in Phoenix. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the Heat. I don't know if it's fans. I don't know if the game's too hard for them. I don't know. But in Phoenix, they look different. They don't look the same. They look like four steps slower. They look very tired. They seem like they just don't want to be in Phoenix. So two more games in Phoenix. I mean, until I see the Bucks stop them in Phoenix, I have no faith in them so far. Like, none at all. I can't imagine them winning in Phoenix. I just really can't. And if it's really the home court situation, like, let's say no one wins an away game, then it's Suns in seven. So the Bucks haven't showed me anything where, like, oh, bro, they're going to show up and they're going to mean business. Because, again, in Phoenix, they were getting mollywopped. In Phoenix, they looked lost. In Phoenix, they looked like they were desperate to not just go back to Milwaukee. They were just desperate to be, like, away from Phoenix. They didn't care. They could have not played in Milwaukee. Their home for the finals, their home court could have been Dallas. They wouldn't care. As long as it's not Phoenix, we'll live with it. So, honestly, in terms of the next three games, I'm going to have to say Suns. But, again, that's why. Fingers crossed, hoping that these refs don't keep calling the world's dumbest calls. As long as the refs stay out of this, it'll be the Suns. But asking the refs to, like, call the right calls, I guess it's like asking Angel Hernandez to call somebody out at first when he clearly beat the throw. So, I don't know. At this point, I'm going to say Suns. But, trust me, I'm not holding my breath.
Right, well, you said some good things, probably, but I think the honest answer to this question is the Suns are going to win this in seven. I don't trust any team in this series to win a game away. I don't, because neither team with their role players have the confidence to go on the road and get the job done. They don't. They clearly don't. Bridges has had that one career game, and since then he hasn't even gave you over 15 points. Holiday is up and down. Middleton is up and down. I think Holiday's doing a pretty good job right now as of late on Chris Paul. Supposedly, he, you know, being the younger guy, he's been able to, you know, Chris Paul, slow him down, the older guy. And I think he's been able to hold his own a little bit on Chris Paul lately, especially on that last game. But check this out. You guys said a lot of things last show about an anomaly. Well, an anomaly occurred yesterday, because if you believe that Chris Paul is going to have 9 turnovers again, you're smoking crack. Because the guy, career-wise, doesn't average more than 3 turnovers career. So if you think you're going to get another 9 turnovers again from Chris Paul, keep smoking, because it's not going to happen. And because of that, I think that the Suns are going to handle their business at home. When it comes to Milwaukee, all right, they'll probably give them the game in Milwaukee, because they know at home they're not touching us. Milwaukee doesn't know what to do when they're under pressure and the crowd is against them. When they're down 6 points, when they're down 8 points in a crowd, they don't have a player with the balls other than Giannis. Like, Giannis at that moment wishes he could shoot, because it's like he's the only one that could really dominate. And when the pressure is on, guys, Middleton can't be counted on. Because I don't even know if he's going to be able to play. I don't think he's going to play, but he's going to look like a DNP, because he's not going to give you anything in Phoenix. That's what he's shown this entire series. So, yeah, they handled their business in Milwaukee. Remember, guys, we had a conversation a while back about a momentum swing, right? Well, what did we say? They had to win both games in Milwaukee, which they did. Now, the momentum has definitely swung, but not to the point where Milwaukee, oh, my God, they're going to win the series. No, because in both games that they won, they really didn't show you, like, damn, this Milwaukee team is deadly. No, they caught Phoenix on a bad night. They caught Phoenix yesterday. Booker went off. Booker woke up. Booker was playing. He was definitely playing well, but not well to what we're used to seeing from Booker. And he lit Milwaukee up. If you think that's going to happen in Phoenix and they're not going to get the dub, put your money, because I'll bet any amount of money that you get another 40 piece from Booker. Because guess what? We just saw Giannis drop 40 twice. And Devin Booker is the second best player in this series. Like, Giannis right now is the best player in the series. No doubt, no debate. But Devin Booker's second. Devin Booker's right there. It's his, yeah. Now it's, he feel like it's his time. He feel like he's the little dude that got punched in the mouth by the big dude. And it's time for him to go down swinging, because there's one thing that we know about Devin Booker is that he learned from the Mamba himself. And that mentality, bro, goes a long way. He's not no punk. He's not no punk. So Devin Booker's not going to get punk. He's going to come in game five. They're going to handle the business in Phoenix. And they're going to put the pressure on Milwaukee, because guess what? Out of both teams, even though I don't trust any team away, if Phoenix wins at Phoenix and they have to go to Milwaukee up 3-2, Milwaukee has to literally play the game of their life to make it a 7-game series. Because, again, once Phoenix has that momentum, has that swagger going into Milwaukee, it is going to be tough. It's going to be a gritty game. Look at the games that Phoenix has won, and look at the way Milwaukee has won. A win is a win, but a style and how you win definitely also details a lot. Because when Phoenix wins, they're running away with it. They're running away with it. When Milwaukee wins, it's like they have to play a perfect game. So when you think that Milwaukee is going to have to play 4 perfect games, 2 out of the next 3, you're going to expect that from Middleton and Holiday at Phoenix? Bruh. I'm sorry, but I wouldn't put my chips on it. PJ Tucker I could have suited it up and done what PJ Tucker has done this entire series, because he hasn't done shit. So to be honest, guys, Phoenix, even though it's 2-2, Phoenix still has all the control, because the next 2 out of the 3 games are at their house, and Milwaukee can't win in Phoenix, but Phoenix can possibly still win in Milwaukee. You understand? So yes, the Phoenix is the better team. Giannis is the best player in the series. But I think if it was the other way around, guys, if it was Milwaukee and the last 2 games were in Milwaukee, probably be a different tone. But because it's the last 2 games are in Phoenix and not in Milwaukee, I think Phoenix got this, guys.
Yeah, and I find myself very conflicted in this conversation, because I think I'm being a little prisoner of the moment right now, because I really like what I've seen from the Milwaukee Bucks in the last 2 games, and I get it. Home cooking, role players pay better at home. I get that. That's for sure. It's going to be tough going into Arizona and Phoenix and going out there and get the dub if you are the Milwaukee Bucks. But for some reason, I got this feeling in my stomach, guys, that I really do feel like we got like a 30-piece from Middleton coming, and I think that a 30 piece is going to follow up with Giannis, and I think that for some reason they're going to probably steal this game and Phoenix this upcoming game. And I feel like Phoenix is going to win in Milwaukee, and it's going to have to come down to the Phoenix game in game 7 for sure. I feel like these 2 teams have dominated each other so well in their own home stadiums that I think once they visit each other once again, I think that they're going to beat each other at the respective away stadiums, and it's going to come down to game 7. I don't know why. It's just the thing I got in my stomach. I'm not going to put money on it because I'm not that foolish. But for some reason, I think that Milwaukee has taken a good grip in this series. They were down 0-2. Yeah, sure, you're supposed to go back to Milwaukee and handle your business and go back to Phoenix 2-2. That is true. But we've all mentioned it. This Phoenix team is better than this Milwaukee team. I was so surprised that they weren't able to at least win 1 in Milwaukee. Game 3, they got blown out by 20. And then game 4, you're right, Sander, an anomaly happened. Chris Paul turned the ball over 9 times, was it, that you said? 9 times, 9 times, way too many. And one of the ones late in the game was a very big unforced error where he just literally just lost the ball. You know, he was trying to get by Giannis, lost the dribble, you know, and he hasn't really been effective on the offensive side of the ball since, what, game 1 where he dropped 32. He just came off that closeout game against the Clippers, then he came and blew it. But ever since then, Pride, Chris Paul has been very quiet in their series, and it's something that Phoenix needs to be very worried about, because you got a 42-point burger from Devin Booker, and it went to waste, and it makes you think, hey, if Chris Paul just gave us 15, 18, you could be up 3-1 going back to Phoenix right now.
I mean, yeah, but again, that's kind of just being a revisionist historian, you know? If you're the Suns, you can't think like that. You gotta deal with the punches you have, and you gotta work with what you got. Yeah, you can say that. You can go ahead and say it, but at the same time, you could have made. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if they start thinking like that, they're gonna lose.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I feel like Chris Paul, the way he is and his leadership, he's not gonna let them think that way. He's gonna be like, listen, I messed up. It is what it is. Let's move on to game five. This is our court. We know they can't beat us here. Now we just got to go out there and prove that it's true. So that's really all it's going to come down to. Milwaukee's going to have to beat them at home, and I don't see it. I just don't. I don't see it. And you say you see a big game coming from Chris Middleton. I don't know. Like, to me, I've only, like, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure he's only had one great game every series. He's only had one.
Well, he had a nice game 5, 6, and 7 versus Brooklyn, and then against Atlanta, he had a good 5 and 6. So he just seems like
nice Middleton has this trend
where he's nice playing standard. Better in the end of the series, which should be, you know, something that Milwaukee hopefully looks forward to. Like you said, if you got a whole bunch of hopes, then you're kind of hoping on something too big to happen. Like, but, you know, but Chris Middleton going out there and giving you 20-25 isn't the worst stretch, considering we've seen him do it in the last few late rounds.
I mean, I guess so. We've seen them. They've still gotten stomped when he's done that.
He beat Brooklyn off his hand. Think about it. He beat
four games, though.
They had to win two games off Brooklyn.
But both games weren't because of him.
I mean, but he was the one in that scenario. That's all I'm saying.
If you want to make the argument, go ahead.
They were sharing it for sure, but he took the bigger shot.
If you want to make that, that's fine. You know, I say what I said before, bro. If you got to rely on Chris Middleton, you're fucked.
Yeah.
There's no way for me to cut around it. There's no way for me to go around. If your chips are in Chris Middleton to be that dude to show up, guess what? He's leaving you standing at the altar. That's just kind of what he's always done. You know what I mean?
I just need him to hit the free throws that I know Giannis can't hit late in the fourth. I just need him on the floor for that, Sander. I just need Chris Middleton to just be on the floor with a good lead come game five late. Game six. No, game five. We're going to game five. Game five. I need the Bucks to at least be up with four. We have 2 minutes left, and just put the ball in Chris Middleton's hand, because we already know Giannis can't shoot this team out the building. But Chris Middleton, on a good day, he definitely has the capacity to go to the free throw line and hit shots and even pull up.
Yeah, when he's in Milwaukee, but somehow he forgets to play basketball when he's not in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
To your point, Pride, though, you know, some of the fouls that have been getting called are crazy, which makes you look at the USA games they played and how they're asking for calls. Now I get it. I'm like, why is he crying for the ball so much? And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's like I've been watching them, and like, bro, like Kevin Durant, he shoots a wide open three and he's looking at the ref. And I'm like, Katie, what are you doing, bro? I had to rewatch game two and three just to make sure I wasn't bugging. And when I watch all of them, and I rewatch them, I'm looking, I'm like, now I see why Kevin Durant and Jason Tatum are crying. I see why Damian Lillard takes plays off to yell at the ref. I get it now. It all makes sense.
These superstars get every call they want. Guess what? It don't work like that international, guys.
Bro, they don't care who
another
you
guy.
Yo, these refs barely know half our roster, bro. Like, the only guy they know is KD. Everyone else is like, yo, it's Dame time. He's like, is that a new kind of watch? What are you talking about, bro?
Is that the new G-Shock, bro?
Yo, facts. Like, they don't know half these dudes. So, like, they need to check themselves, bro.
You know, it's funny. Before we move on to the next topic, it's because you said that. It just reminds me of a funny story I had heard when it came to the Dream Team, the original Dream Team back in 92, Michael Jordan, Pippen, this and that. And it was a part in that documentary where John Stockton was just walking around, chilling, walking around with the Dream Team shirt on, and nobody said nothing to him. And it wasn't until I think Karl Malone came up to him, and people were like, oh shit, you're Karl Malone. Oh wait, you're John Stockton. And he's just like, yeah, I've only been walking around for like a whole hour. Ain't nobody say nothing to me, but whatever. But that's don't worry, John Stockton, really you're respected. Unfortunately, he isn't a ring, unfortunately. Yeah. But Sander, we do got to talk about this, unfortunately, because, you know, we do got a big series coming. Actually, I'm going to talk about this because I'm the only Yankee fan on the block now. You're a Red Sox fan all of a sudden. Look at you wearing red on a Red Sox topic. Anyways, Yankees got smacked with COVID. Aaron Judge came out. You know, he was one of the guys that got it, which really put a lot of things in perspective, considering that we just saw him among other stars in the All-Star team in Denver, Colorado. And, you know, the big question is, you know, did he get it in Colorado or did he get it in New York and bought it there? You know, there's still a lot of mysteries that we got to know. But nonetheless, you know, the Yankees are going to have to work out what they're going to have to work out with some other guys out of commission for the time being. And possibly, you know, as the weekend advances, maybe the Red Sox might find themselves, but maybe some guys that also got COVID. I remember, I think it was in our group chat, there was a picture of Aaron Judge in the middle of both Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. You know what I mean? They're old pals. I hope that everybody stays safe. Hopefully he didn't give it to those guys because, you know, every league sucks when the stars aren't playing, so I'm hoping that they're fine as well. But Xander, going into the weekend, what should both teams expect coming off this COVID breakout?
Well, I expect the Yankees to lose this series 3-1. Thank you for telling me that it's a four-game series because I expect them to lose 3-1. It's not even about the COVID situation.
You gave us a game.
I gave us a game at best, man. Listen, I remember Joe talking on the Lovely Show roll call that, you know, they do a lovely job with the Clovercrest Media Group. I heard him say, you know, 50-plus wins and less than 20 losses or keep it between 20 losses and the Yankees have a shot. My Lord, if you think the Yankees are going to turn it around and win 50 games after the All-Star break, you are smoking something worse than crack, bro, because we haven't put anything together. We have literally one pitcher, and the only pitcher that we have, he hasn't been the same since the sticky stuff. And that's just leading me to the belief that a lot of these really good pitchers, other than DeGrom, other than the GOAT, you got to look at them and bat your eye a little bit because you got to look at them real close and make sure that they're really that good. You know what I'm saying? It's just what it is with the Yankees, guys. The Reds right now are in a position in the league right now to take complete control of the AL East. Everybody's going to be looking up at the Red Sox. They're hot right now. They're about to get their guy, Chris Sale, back. We talked about this when the season started. We talked about this, you know, a little bit deeper, a little bit earlier into the season, that they started hot and they haven't got Chris Sale yet. Now that Chris Sale is right around the corner to get hot, you're looking at another ace on that roster, another great arm in that bullpen. Dude, right now, sky's the limit for the Red Sox if they continue the way they're going. That kid Devers is no joke. Bogaerts, you guys, I already told you, Bogaerts is my top three favorite player in the MLB. And yes, he's the Boston Red Sox, and I don't give a damn. Because guess what? I'm packed up. I'm channel Jose Alberto. I'm over there just loving Boston right now. I'm taking a few brewskis, you know what I mean? I'm loving life right now.
Oh, you'll be at the Mark Wahlberg spot?
He's showing me the good life. He's showing me the good life. What the Yankees have deprived from me for the last 12 years. And not only that, man, the Yankees are really sitting in the same boat. Or shall I say, the Yankees sit at the same table as Dallas Cowboys. We look across from each other like, damn, guys, it's been so long since we've won a few rings. It's been so long since we've been dominant. And honestly, it's clown shit. This is a franchise in the Yankees that's still, even though they're not relevant to win a World Series right now, this is still the most storied franchise in all of American sports history. I don't give a damn what pride says. This is just facts. The New York Yankees are still the most luxurious franchise in all of sports entertainment, and it's the most prestigious, especially when it comes to worth. You're looking at the Yankees and you put them up there with Real Madrid, you put them up there with those soccer teams that are worth multi-billion dollars. The Cowboys as well, too. But yeah, we're not talking about the Masari Cowboys right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's not enough that I'm talking about the Masari ass Yankees that I'm cheating on, and I don't give a damn. Yes, JJ, I don't care. You did it. I could do it too. So listen, at the end of the day, guys, the Yankees now are in a down spiral. They're dealing with a manager that literally just doesn't have a voice in that room. You're dealing with an owner that doesn't want to spend money like his father did. He's scared to spend money. This dude has a franchise that's worth billions of dollars in a capless league, in a franchise that's not a low market, that has the money to spend on free agents and bring their – listen, they don't even have to want to go. Just give them an infinite check. They just – what you want – and we'll pay that. That's exactly what George Steinbrenner was known for when he was spending $2 billion worth in free agency in 10 years, okay? So when we were winning championships, we were dominating the 90s. So that's the same type of that's what we need, but yet we got his pussy son who doesn't want to spend a dime and make the team better. So listen, guys, this is the Yankees. This is the Red Sox. This plain and simple. Call an ace an ace. And what I'm calling is Chris Sale an ace. And when he comes back, it's going to be a lot tougher. If you think it's going to be any easier with a guy like Chris Sale pitching every five games, bro, if the Red Sox sweep this series, I'm going to guarantee they sweep the entire season series. Because at that point, this is the season for the Yankees. This is the turnaround for the Yankees. It starts now. It doesn't start next series. It starts with a series like this. If you don't get up for this series, guys, and maybe upset and go 3-1 this series, or maybe sweep, or just even just tie the series 2-2. If you don't do none of that, bro, Yankee fans, just pack it in, bro, because there's nothing worth watching. There's nothing worth watching.
Brandon, I'm going to let you go, but I got a guy that has a lot to say about the current state of the Yankees. And with that, I got to introduce the man himself, Joseph Aguirre. What's up, my brother?
I love it when you're here. I love it when you're here. Give me some. Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Thank you, JJ, for the lovely introduction. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Listen, you know, the Yankees have underperformed. And the Red Sox have overperformed in the first half, and that could quite easily flip. And as excited as Red Sox fans should be for the first half, and the fact that Chris Sale going to be coming back pretty soon, that could only, you'd think that would only make things go well. But it's the Red Sox we're talking about. This would be just the kind of thing, wouldn't it?
Not
you
at
get
all,
your fans all riled up. You think you're all. Good.
Not at
and
all.
And then you're going to figure it out. Like a 1978 all over again. One of those kind of things. 1999. Take your pick. I think that you guys are riding a little high. Let's be honest. This Red Sox team does have some flaws in it. Starting pitching's not that great. Your bullpen's better than it's been. I still think the lineup's weak, and I still don't think the pitching's good enough to carry all the way through the postseason. That's just me. What do I know?
Right, what do you know? You think the Yankees can get it back on track? Come on.
I do think the Yankees can get it back on track.
The only way you guys are getting it back on track is if you somehow find the track, and unfortunately for you, Joe, we cannot find it. You guys are long gone.
You found the track, though. You guys found the track this
and
spring.
You want to know why? Because we
like
are
the everywhere.
Greatest organization to ever grace God for your sport, yeah. But we are in the greatest state. The greatest state, and I hate Massachusetts, but I love it because the Six Flags, the Patriots, imagine. And the Red Sox. I kid you not,
the
man.
Greatest, don't but I hate it.
Up, man. Listen, man. I'm just sick of these Yankees fans. Just listen. Do what I had to do last year. Accept it. Extend your arm. Say, failure, I embrace thee. Lie in bed and rest with me. For next year, greatness may come. Just accept it. Listen, last year, we were horrible. I admitted it. You can ask them with pride. We horrible. We dog water. We was garbage. And I admitted it. And I was okay with it. Do you want to know why? Because I knew the instant we became the greatest team in baseball, we win the World Series this year. And I'm allowed to say that. Why? Because I rolled with my team. I didn't lie to my team talking about, yo, we can get it better. Listen, Joe. I don't know if you know. See, Alex Cora, he chops it up with me. You feel me? Me and Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers. You know, we all got numbers. We in a group chat. We need chatting sometimes. Look, I'll call in a favor. We'll split the series for you. You feel me? We're going to split the series. We'll give you guys a couple wins to make you guys feel better. Because, listen, after sweeping you guys two times, count them, not one, two times. Listen, man. Three times the charm? No, we can't do that yet. We got to give you something. But, Joe, to think you guys are going to go on this mythical run, yo, we got to win at least 50 wins. Joe, they can't even count to 50. How you expect them to get 50 wins? You're talking about our starting pitching. Have you seen yours, including your guy, Gerrit Cole? Come on, man. You cannot say our pitching is suspect when your pitching got caught. Your pitcher, listen, bro, if they did a crime, right, they got caught doing a crime, and you're trying to tell me,
I think you forgot about his last start with nothing on his fingers, a 3-hit, 12 strikeout shutout of the
–
he had two bad starts. He's entitled to a couple of bad starts. What are you talking about?
No.
He had two suspiciously timed mediocre starts.
Two
in a row. That was it. Look at his numbers.
Dude, he had like nine starts, but his ERA was through the roof.
Two. 178. Dude, it's
ERA was like over 2.75. That guy looked like he should have been in the mental system, Joe.
Nonsense.
It's because he's wearing pinstripes. It's because he's wearing pinstripes. Because we know.
For a record, it only was two outings. You're overreacting. You're saying it's more than two. It was just two.
It was two. Go look it up.
But it was only two.
No, it was only. JJ, after the whole sticky stuff, there was like a stat after the sticky stuff. It was like his first eight starts, and they compared to the first nine starts after the sticky stuff, and the guy looks completely different.
And what happened the last outing?
My point is, you don't look at that one outing and be like, oh, that erases everything else.
It doesn't, but we're looking forward.
Okay, it sure as hell does. It sure does. It 100% does. He admitted he was having trouble, like most guys in the league were, holding on to baseball. He figured it out. He doesn't need it now. He's fine.
Garrett Cole doesn't need it. And they came back 8-0 on Scherzer. What are you talking about?
Scherzer didn't need it.
They just came back on him. He was using it. Are you blind?
Scherzer didn't need it.
He admitted he did it.
I just hope that Chris Sale, when he comes back, he better be undefeated and an all-star and an all-time great. Because if he loses one game, I'm going to automatically be like, right?
Get him out of here. He loses one game, it's a wrap. The thing is, I cannot be.
Why is Sander dressed like Duke Kaboom? Is my question.
I want to go home. Look, Joe, I understand you're a Yankees fan. I get it. There's no way you're going to tell me that you guys are going to go on a mythical run. Because, look, to go 50-20, because that's basically about what you're saying. Be realistic here. I don't think that's possible. I don't think – because, again, what have you guys done to fix the issue? Because, again, the teams you need to beat, and you've said this before, is Toronto. That's going to be one team you need to beat. You need to beat the Rays, and then you need to beat us. My thing is, how can you sit there and say, oh, yeah, we're going to do it, when you have said changes need to be made, and the only change you've made was take out arguably your best bet, and you had to because of COVID. And you said before, when a guy comes back from COVID, he does not look the same. He does not look the same. So if Aaron Judge, if he has it, I'm hoping it's just like a protocol thing, but if he has it and he returns, are you now expecting him to be the anomaly and for him to take off and all of a sudden play better? Please, Joe, the floor is yours.
Whoa. That's a lot to unpack.
Please. Thank you. I try so hard.
You should check him out on Prime Time, Pride's Prime Time.
I'm horrible. Yeah. See, I'm worse there because no one can talk back. So I'm even worse over there.
First, let me say this. We don't give up on seasons because we're Yankees fans. That's a Red Sox mentality to just pack it in, accept last place, and be a loser. That's fine. You can do that. Kudos to you guys. That had to be awful. It had to be similar to, what was it, a couple years ago, you guys did the same thing, won a World Series and tanked. That's what you guys do. And then you trade your best players and you pretend like you're like a big league, big market team. It's pathetic. You know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
So pathetic. When's the last time y'all won? My bad. I interrupted you. Shame on me.
I don't know. Let me scan this list of 27 championships, and I'll tell you the last time that it happened.
That happened before the Declaration of Independence. Come on, Joe.
I don't think you know when the Declaration of Independence was.
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to school. I wasn't that smart. That's not the point, right, Joe. The point is, you can't live off that. We're talking about
1776.
Now,
but listen, the Yankees have to go 50-23.
Okay.
That's a 27-game over 500 pace.
That's tough, Joe.
That's real tough. That's real tough. And it's the reason why it's going to be so stunning that it happens. Because as you said, Pride, and you're right. I said this. Yankees got to make some changes. And they didn't.
They won't.
So why would I think that anything's going to turn around?
Blind faith.
Well, that would be one. That would be a good one. Blind faith.
Okay.
Here's what I'm looking at. Here's what I'm looking at, Pride. You got a Red Sox team that completely overperformed in the first half.
Doesn't matter.
And a Yankees team that could not have underperformed more.
Okay.
A team that had not hitting home runs. Mm-hmm. inconsistent getting guys in, guys on base. They made a ton of mistakes. Most double plays in base. They're on pace to set a record for double plays. Okay. All the strikeouts, the errors, there was a lot of bad stuff. The base running, 30 guys horrible. Thrown on the bases this year. They haven't even attempted 30 steals. How insane is that?
You know you're down bad when your best base runner is Brett Gardner and he can't even play for shit.
Facts. Anyway, there's really no rhyme or reason other than look at the talent on this team. I mean, if these guys all start playing to their abilities, and I hate to say this because it sounds like a cop-out, but they're all second-half guys. Judge, everybody knows that Gary does in August. That's the best month on any Gary Sanchez baseball card. Flip it, okay? There's every reason, and the Yankees have every opportunity. They have a lot of games with the Red Sox coming out of the gate, a lot of games with Tampa, a lot of games with Toronto still to go. The Yankees have dominated the Central. They've dominated the West. They've dominated the National League. They've been struggling with their compatriots in the East. Fair. You think that's going to last all season long?
Yes.
You think that? I noticed you joked because they swept them twice. You were like, third time's a charm. But I noticed you backed off that right away.
Because I'm trying
to be nice. You know that's not going to happen, is why.
Joe. If you think for a second losing 3-1, like if we win three games and you win one, if you think for a second that's going to propel you guys to heights unknown, I got a bridge I can sell you, my guy. We can get in business because, no, look, man, Joe.
So you said split, so splitting.
I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be fine. 2-2. Fine. Split it. 2-2. Joe, you're telling me the rest of the year, that's like what? So you said they need to go 50-23. So let's say that'd be 44-21.
Yeah, 50-21.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. No, 48. So you're saying the rest of the year they're going to go 48-21.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
So you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, huh? Because that's the delusion you're matching right now, Joe. Because you're losing me because you just said they did nothing right to improve this team.
I think you got confused when I said talent and you don't know what that means. That means that these guys are all superstars capable of putting up big numbers, and no one's done that yet. I don't know. Listen, mathematically speaking, it would be hard to imagine this team hitting worse in the second half. You look at the probabilities, you look at the luck factor on balls these guys are hitting, right? I mean, making outs at a stunning pace. That's probably going to turn around. You look at a guy like Gleyber Torres, the guy that's hit between 270 and 300 his whole career, sitting like 220. Clint Frazier's still hitting $190. You think that's going to continue? You don't think any of those guys is going to figure it out? Not to mention, you know, B. Cash got something in the works.
Oh,
wait.
You know something's coming. You know this.
But here's the thing. Here's my question.
We don't give up on seasons. That's why.
You don't have to give up on the season, but you need to accept the fact that there's no comeback. I'm going to say this real quick, and then, JJ, I'm going to pass it off to you because I see that if looks could kill you, you would kill me by now. So I promise I'm going to have you have your peace. I promise. Let me just say one thing real quick. You can't say it's luck. Like that that the teams are lucky against you guys. You can say that for weeks. You can say that. Like, if they were dominated a couple weeks, you can go, okay, they hit a rut. It's a luck thing. Your team has played over 80 games. They played out the season. That luck excuse doesn't measure up anymore.
But it's not that. And I think JJ could probably tell you better than anybody. It's their inconsistency. This is a team that'll go 8-2. In a 10-game stretch and then go 3-7 the next week. No rhyme or reason.
Right.
It's inconsistency. But again, this is a team that's capable of reeling off a lot of wins and a lot of wins in a row. And they haven't. So, but they are healthy. And my point is, based on just mathematical probabilities, you have to assume the statistics are going to be there. The numbers are going to be there. So they're going to have to start hitting, I would assume. That's what I'm going off. I'm not blind faith. You're talking about, you think four or five guys are going to have the absolute worst year of their career? That's hard to do. That's as hard to do as having four or five guys have career years the same year.
Yeah, I agree with both you and Pride, but I kind of lean on Pride's side. I'm not necessarily giving up on the Yankees season, but I just feel like this Yankees team is not it, and I have expressed that with you, Joe. I just don't think this team is it for a championship right now, but I do get your point. Statistically, they can only look better come the second half, because if they do worse, then they're going to be historically worse. You know what I'm saying? So you have to come back to earth to some degree, just like I understand with the whole Red Sox thing. They clearly overperformed. Kudos to them in the first half of the season, coming off what was their last year, coming into this year. They were expected to be fighting for third place. They overperformed at the top of the AL. I think they're top of the MLB at the moment. Kudos to them. I'm not taking nothing away from them. But because they overperformed, just like the Yankees underperformed, that's got to be a happy medium where both guys kind of both come down and hit, you know, somewhat what the plateau is, if you want to call it that. You know what I mean? So someone's going to come up from their high. Someone's going to get a little hot. And eventually, maybe these teams find themselves in a closer competitive race. But I just really just see it as the moment, as the Red Sox just got something brewing right now, Joe. And the Yankees aren't going to be the team to stop them. They're just not.
That could well be true. Okay. But I'll say this. If you look at the season that the Yankees are having, you have to ask yourself, right? I mean, the Red Sox are playing great, having a great first half.
How many games are you up?
8 games. That's nothing.
You would have thought they were 20 games back as bad as the Yankees. Hold on, Joe. Hold on. I got to say this. I have to say this just to get it out the way. Just real quick. Light, you're not allowed to talk because you hopped off that bandwagon and you tried to come on our bandwagon. You signed the contract for the rest of the year, so don't try to downplay our lead. You're supposed to be over here.
This is all I say. Don't take that foot off the pedal. Don't get comfortable is all I'm saying.
Oh, no. We're not getting comfortable.
Because you don't want to do some New York Mets shit and have the lead, and in the final 2 weeks of the season, you're not in the playoffs.
But we're not going to do that, though, because you want to know why we're not going to do that? Look, like Joe said, you want to know what the biggest problem of the Yankees? It was a good one, Joe. I'll give you that one. You want to know what the biggest problem is? You want to know what the biggest problem is? And the biggest problem. It's a problem you can't fix. They're divas. They all think they've arrived. They all think, in their mind, they already won a ring. The worst thing that would have happened to them is finding out the Astros cheated. Because in their minds, when they found that out, they gifted themselves that ring. In their minds, they're like, we've arrived. We're the guys, so we're just kind of chilling. It reminds me a few years back. I remember a few years ago in basketball when the Washington Wizards were supposed to be great, and they would always play up to competition, and they would always lose to the subpar teams, and it's because they thought they arrived, and everyone looked at them like, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? That's the problem the Yankees are entering right now. They think that they're the bar. That's what they think. Unfortunately, in order to get that bar, you have to play the game and then reach it. Unfortunately for them, they're reaching their hands up, but they're not jumping. And then they get the surprise Pikachu face when someone goes on their tippy toes, gives them a half-inch jump and grabs it, and now they don't know what to do. So the thing is like the changes you guys need to make is all really mental. That's kind of the biggest problem you guys have. And that's not something you can just change like that. See, my guys were gritty. My guy, Xander Bogaerts, best shortstop in the league, at me. He gritty. You don't see him trying to be all flashy like the Yankee. No, we chilling. We got great guys. We got guys who get their shovel. And listen, Aaron Judge used to be that guy. Giancarlo Stanton used to be that guy. Brett Gardner used to be that guy. Unfortunately, they don't do that anymore. And like when you have a guy who won't work hard anymore, you're going to have to really have a conversation. Should we really keep him? That's the conversation you guys are going to have with like about half your roster, because Cliff Frazier, I'm not even going to talk about him. I can't really talk about him because the guy, his equivalent is Chris Middleton. I don't know what else to really call him, because this guy 1 minute will show up and you'll say, oh my God, Clint's back. And then all of a sudden Clint turned his back to the entire lineup, and the guy doesn't want to swing or he's keep getting out. The issue you guys are having, like us, our starting pitching, it can get fixed. Because once we get Chris Sale back, Nathan Eovaldi is probably going to be our two. And then we're going to have Erod as our three. I don't care who's four or five. I don't care who. Don't say that, Joe. Don't say that, Joe. Because guess what? The roster we got now, swept y'all.
Yeah, but are those aces, though?
Who was the guy that was undefeated for a few weeks? You totally forget about him.
Slick Nick. Nick prevents. Slick Nick, I used to call him.
You completely erased him off the board.
But the thing is, he lost, so I can't call him Slick Nick.
That's the arrogance. That's the arrogance of a Red Sox fan right there.
And Yankees already fans aren't arrogant.
Already forgetting who got you there. That's typical. Let me ask you this.
I didn't forget him.
Let me ask you this. What happened to your Nomar Garcia Parra jersey? Did you throw it in the trash like everybody else did? No loyalty to the players. Is Xander Bogaerts your favorite player? Because you're right. Best shortstop in the game right now. Xander, for sure. You got a jersey?
If you're on the Red Sox, you're my favorite player.
You got a jersey? You might as well just get it in Dodger blue.
No.
Because it's just a matter of time before Xander Bogaerts.
No.
Like David Price and Adrian Gonzalez and just about everybody on the Red Sox. After you overspend to try to buy championships, what, you got to send them all to L.A.?
Fine. You guys are on
every
the budget,
couple of years,
fire sale
to L.A. I cannot wait
Joe.
Till Xander Bogaerts a Dodger.
Well, Joe, let me ask you. Like you said, we're coming into a four-game series with the Sox. So, you know, it's going to be drama packed. So what do you expect from both these teams come this weekend?
I got it.
Well, I expect these Yankees are going to be all fired up. You know, they got shown up, beaten down, kicked around, fans disrespecting them all over the place.
Okay. I'm telling you right now, Joe, I can't see this Yankees team beating this Red Sox team in a series all year. I just look at the body language. I see the positions. I see the way that they play. And I hate to say it because, you know, I am a Yankee fan. I'm not jumping ship, but that team is better than us right now.
The Yankees are playing really, really good baseball right now. This is probably the best time for them, performance-wise, to face the Red Sox. Judge and Stanton both really have been hitting well. Gary's slumping again, but, you know, he likes that Red Sox pitching. You know,
unfortunately, we won't have Judge until further notice.
Yeah, it's all good.
Do you have a lineup for tonight's game? I haven't found one yet. Do you have the lineup for tonight's game? I'm not sure what it's going to look like.
I don't have it yet. Don't you remember the next man up mentality?
Hold on. Yeah, but can't only go so far. There's only two things that's infinite in the world. Pride saying I've never seen a guy and cops in GTA. And next man up can only go so much. Okay. It can only go so much because you can only have so many quality players, bro. You can next man up that worked for that season when we had quality players to rely on, like an Andujar, like a Gilbert, who popped that season. You know what I mean? Not popped as in PEDs, but popped as in the star. You can only do next man up for so long, Joe.
Well, it's going to have to do for now, unfortunately.
Try it again.
What else are you going to do? But, well, I mean, look, the Yankees, if we're as bad as they're supposed to be, who wouldn't take 48 and 43 in the first half?
And down eight games?
Come on. Oh,
by the way, I found the lineup. So for the greatest organization to ever grace God's in sports, the Boston Red Sox, we got Kike at one, Verdugo at two, JD DHing at three, Bogaerts at four, Rafi at five, Hunter Renfroe, who's going to play right field, batting six, Christian Vasquez batting seventh, Christian Arroyo eighth, and Bobby Dalbec ninth. For your guys, it's going to be DJ LeMahieu at one, Giancarlo Stanton DHing at two.
Yes.
Your guy, Rougned Odor at three. Gary Sanchez
at that hot lefty bat in there at three.
Which makes sense on why they would move him up. And then you got Gary Sanchez at four, Gleyber Torres at five, Brett Gardner, who's going to be in center. He's at six, Chris Giddens at seven, Trey Ambergy and right field at eight, and Tim LoCastro batting ninth in left field.
Big news that came out earlier today. Sorry, Senator Kuchwoff. Thank you, Pride, for the lineups. But Luke Voit also got put on a 10-day IL today, too, which hurt the Yankees. So it'll be a while till we see him also.
Yeah, but we're excited about Gittens. Gittens looks pretty good.
He does.
Yeah. This kid's got some pop in the bat. I like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, look, here's what I really would like to see the Yankees do. I mean, there's no reason in the world why Esteban Florial isn't manning center field every day. I mean, if the guy strikes out 200 times in the 400 at bats in the second half, I would be fine with that. You know what I mean? How much less production do they think they're going to get from a potential five-tool superstar? See what you got. Roll this kid out there. He's the best option they have right now in center field. It's not Brett Gardner. It's not Tim LaCastro.
Nope.
They even tried Judge there too, but
yeah, which I don't like. I don't like Judge being in center at all.
I believe Pride. You guys have a prospect coming up in this series too, as well, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Duran, if I'm not mistaken, we've called him up. He's gonna be on the bench. We probably won't play him, which is why call him up? Because he's like one of our top prospects. So if we're gonna call him up, give him some play time. What they're probably gonna do is see how game one plays out. And then if we need to do an adjustment, they'll plug him in there. But to your point, Joe, when you said the next man up mentality, you can't really use that because this is really an organization who's kind of showed you they don't believe in that. The Yankees are a guy, like our team who's like, oh, this is our lineup. We're rolling with our lineup 90% of the time.
I beg to differ because we just did it the other year and we won 100 games doing it. So I beg to differ.
What do you mean?
They just did it.
Did what?
Next man up went to 100 wins. That's success.
If you let me finish, you would see where I'm getting to.
But you're saying we can't do that. We
No.
Go ahead.
I'm going to continue, Joe. This is a team that I'm going to repeat the sentence that I just said. 90% of the time, they don't like to do that. That's what I said. 90% of the time, they don't like to do that. In order for there to be a next guy mentality,
well, who likes
you to? Need to fight. I'm going to continue. You need to be able to get those next guys. You need to be able to get those next guys. And the thing is, your entire lineup is sucking right now. So there's going to be some guys you're going to need to call up, and they're not calling them up to have that next guy up mentality.
Well, they are. And here's the thing.
Now they are.
We've been calling for these guys for weeks.
He said 90% of teams don't want the next man up mentality. Because maybe 90% of teams don't want their guys to get hurt.
That's not what I said.
Listen to yourself.
That's not what it is. I said the Yankees, like 90% of the time, do not operate on the next man up mentality.
Why would they?
By the way, keep your eye on Hoi Jung Park, may end up the Yankees starting shortstop by the end of the season.
If he's not the next Ohtani, I don't care about him.
That's not fair, though.
He is Asian, so that's cool.
He said there.
But I do have some shit to get off my chest with the New York Yankees straight up. Coming from a disgruntled fan, and it's been a while. We're dealing with an owner who I said earlier, Joe, is straight up punk. He's not like his dad. He's scared. He's scared to blow money. He's scared to spend money like his dad did. And you know what? I don't give a damn if it was buying the championships. God damn it. We would get championships, though. It don't matter how much money you spent for them, for the players. But guess what? Those players still had to produce in order for us to get those World Series rings. And I feel like with the owner and his son, who's so shy from getting into the luxury in a capless league, dude, the Yankees haven't been a farm build them up type of team. They have been known for winning the championship by getting those big stars and spending blank checks to bring them over here. But as long as we have an owner that's just gun shy like his dad, who's not like his dad by any stretch of the imagination, he said in the interview that his dad was an asshole. And guess what? His dad was an asshole for a reason, because asshole, you don't see successful people who aren't assholes. A lot of people that are successful are straight up assholes and they get their job done. So guess what? Look up to your father, because George Steinbrenner is one of the greatest owners of all time. I don't care what you say. You need to be like your dad. Stop being so damn scared. And my question to you, do you think something like that, can he actually start being like his dad eventually? Or the Yankees have to do something that probably hasn't been thought of, and maybe sell the team and get somebody else in there with a different mentality?
George Steinbrenner basically came the power. It took over the team in 72, but really came the power in like 75, 76, where he became like the principal owner. And they had a great, great team. They won two championships. And then they went like 18 years before they won another one. And it was solely due to his extreme incompetence. He also got suspended from baseball for a year for paying a gambler to dig up dirt on Hall of Famer Dave Winfield. So let's sometimes I think we get a little nostalgic for George, because when George was gone, Gene Stick Michael took over operations and he put an emphasis on the farm teams and didn't trade Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera for Brian Harvey in 1995. Knew that was the wrong move to make. Decided they needed to build within. Had the core four with Bernie and Posada and Jeter and Pettit. You got to build from within. You can't just go out there and spend money. I watched it during the 80s. The Yankees went out and got everybody, and it never worked out. By the late 90s, with Brian Cashman firmly in charge, that's where all those championships came about. If anybody here is the problem, it's the lieutenant. It's Lieutenant Cashman. Because this team is paper-thin depth-wise. It always was. The trade of Mike Tauchman looks like the stupidest move on the planet when you look at how bad Peralta's been and how lacking in depth they have right now for Major League outfielders. Trey Amburgi is an infielder by trade. He's not an outfielder. He can play the corner outfield spots, but he's more of an infield guy. So they're bringing guys up from the minors, and they're not even playing in position. So you see the ish that we're having right now.
Yeah, and but another thing is, Joe, the Yankees don't make these smart decisions with their lineup.
Sure like thing. Here's another one. You talk about being cheap. The Sun here has handed out the biggest contract in history to Gerrit Cole, and he acquired what at the time was the biggest contract of all time in Giancarlo Stanton. Yep. So to suggest that this guy's not going to – gave a ton of money to Chapman, gave a ton of money to two closers on this team. Mm-hmm. Who else has the luxury of two all-star closers?
Yeah, and to your point, Joe, the only reason I'm saying it's not money is because, again, like, if – listen, if this team – like, if Trevor Story was healthy, they would trade for him and they immediately pay him. Like, you know, like, this is a team that, like – my money isn't really the issue. It's more like a mentality thing. So I don't – I'm not really going to say that, like, he's being stingy. I mean, I see what you're saying because, again, his father signed blank checks. His thing was, like, if you're breathing, here's a blank check. So I see what you're saying in terms of them being different, but I'm not going to blame it solely on, like, oh, he's not going to go spend money because, you know, Giancarlo Stanton was dumb expensive. Chapman was dumb. Like you said, and Gerrit Cole, if I'm not mistaken, he's one of the highest paid pitchers, if not the highest paid of all time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah, so, like, I'm not going to say it's money. I'm saying it's something deeper. But I do get the why you're saying they're different. Because his pops didn't care. He kind of was like, hey, yo, you breathing? Here's a blank check.
Well, but again, now understand, to be fair, there was not a luxury tax in George's day. So he could spend whatever he wanted. And there was no – it wasn't – and when they put that luxury tax in, things changed for the Yankees as well. Mm-hmm. In the early 2000s, you'll recall, things stopped being so great for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And that was due in part to the fact that they were spending so much money. You got to get through this year. They can reset their tax bracket and so that they're paying less. And they went into this season with a team that made the postseason, won 100 games 2 years before that. It's the same team. For them to assume that this team 3 years later was going to do exactly what it's done the last 3 years was a miscalculation on their part. But they're really adamant about resetting the salary cap. It's a business move, and it sucks. But next year, they can spend more money. They can go out there and get all the guys that they actually need that right now will basically cost about an extra 40 cents on the dollar for everybody that they spend if they were to exceed the salary cap this year. That's a bad deal going forward. Again, this is on the players, too. This is on a tremendous amount of guys who are not playing to expectation.
Mm-hmm.
You're all well compensated. And you said it before, Pride. I mean, you know, if this was a few weeks, you would say, well, there you go. It's been 4 months. But again, you've seen the flashes of how great this team is and can be. And then they settle back into a couple weeks of subpar play. The talent is all there. They've got the team that could go 50-23. I'm not saying they're going to. They've got the talent to do it. Now it's a matter of, like I said, I think mathematically it would, like JJ said too, it would be hard to be worse. It would almost be impossible for this team to play worse than they played.
Well, I don't think they'll play worse. I just don't see them playing better, like phenomenally better. You know what I mean? I think like the second half of the season, I think you're going to see more or less the same. Now, I'm not saying that all of a sudden next year, Giancarlo Stanton is going to go like he's going to be a Chris Davis 2.0. And there's going to be a little tracker for how hitless this guy's been. I'm not saying it's going to like that, but I don't see an explosion Dude, coming from
Brian, him. And I think you take it a little far left, far right usually. But like I said, all they really just have to do is just play better. They don't have to play phenomenally better. They just have to just play better because they played so bad that if they play worse, they're literally going to be reaching historical lows.
I don't think they're going to win 50 games, though. I'm just saying because that was the number that was thrown out.
So I'm saying to get to
can anybody buy the Yankees winning 40 games of the next 73 games? 40-33.
If you're just talking talent, yes, but there's like their mental component.
Yes or no?
So I gotta say no.
Pride, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I don't know what the mental component is. I don't know what
when they're in you've been
in the locker room and seen some weird things happening.
You don't have to be in the locker room, just watch how they play.
It's inconsistent.
And you tell me that's not mental? There's not a mental factor for them to be in these slumps like that. A team that should be playing better, and I hate them with a passion, but they should be playing way better. So we're just saying, oh,
didn't Yogi Berra say 90% of baseball's half mental or some nonsense like that? So look, if you think the Yankees can go 40-33, that's 86 wins. That's pretty solid. If they were to win 43 or 44 games, go 43-30 or 44-29. Again, that's not remarkable. That's 89 or 90 wins. So again, you're 8 games back of, I think, two teams that are tremendously flawed and a team in Toronto that I still don't think is good enough. So I think if you're the Yankees, you know what you got to do. But this thing's not out of hand yet. And to go 44-29 in the second half and win 90 games, be a wild card team and go on to win a World Series. They've got the talent to do it.
The only thing that I'll agree with you is on that point, Joe, is the fact that it's so close. If I would straight up put my cap down and just, you know, go out on my shield if the discrepancy was over like 12, 13 games, I can understand maybe like the Yankees straight up shutting down for the rest of the season and no hope. But, you know, being as it may, it's only 8 games. I could understand why, you know, Yankee fans are looking at the glass half full. But I'm talking to you straight up, man. The talent on the Yankees right now, if they have shown me some signs of greatness when they win a few series, but they've shown me that they can do it inconsistently, and that's not going to get it done. Even if they get to the playoffs, what are they going to do? Win one game and that's it? Because Cole is really the only for sure that you have at the start.
And even he's shaky right now.
Sevy will be back. He'll be back in a couple, maybe in about 2 weeks, he should be back in the rotation. And Corey Kluber will be back at the beginning of September. So you got reinforcements coming. And again, maybe Hal he decides he doesn't want to be called the cheap bastard anymore, even though he's handed out about $1 billion in salary since he took over. maybe he'll go over. Maybe he'll do something and surprise us. Maybe Max Scherzer's coming. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
I will say this though.
I won't give up until they give up. How's that sound?
Well, I'll say this to finish off the blog. I will say that for the Yankees, it is an uphill battle, and it's going to be a long one all season long, especially when they when they have the Red Sox and Tampa Bay looking out at them. It sucks right now for Yankees fans, Joe. Thanks for coming on. Oh, sorry. Thanks for coming on again. We always love having you.
Always a pleasure. Hey, you look, you never know. We need a first baseman. You know any?
That's what I'm saying. And yeah, the Cubs about to start, they about to start selling, so go get yourself a Rizzo. Maybe he'll be your knight in shining armor.
Maybe a Chris Bryant.
Pride, it's always nice to see you.
It's an honor just to hear your voice, Joe. Look at the $1 million smile. What a
JJ,
guy.
Thank you. Duke Kaboom. Peace out.
The man, Joe himself, always love having a show. Always a blast. But guys, let's transition to the NBA because Space Jam came out, a new legacy, and LeBron's going to be starring in it. And now the whole comparison, oh, is he trying to be Michael Jordan way too much? Now he got his own Space Jam thing. We already know haters are going to hate regardless. LeBron, do your thing. Make Space Jam. Make sure it's great. You too, make sure you guys bring your kids to watch it if you guys can control it for long enough. But nonetheless, Pride, you think that the original, that the Space Jam, a new legacy, will be just as good as the original?
I think so. I think it'd be just as good. You know, I mean, not only because, you know, again, I've seen some clippets. I mean, LeBron's not a horrible actor. He's not. I kind of like him, actually. He's actually pretty good. And I think sometimes we cloud our minds a little bit and we forget that when MJ did it, he was solid too. It wasn't nothing out of the world. It wasn't like, oh my God, give him the Academy. But it was solid. Like, you know, it
give him the Oscar.
The only Oscar he wins for is flopping. Anyway, he looked good. He looks fine. He looks solid, you know. And I think LeBron, you know, LeBron doing this, I think it's the same thing. I think it'll be nice. I think it's going to be good with the better technology. This might, people are probably going to call it an even better movie. I'm not really going to compare them. I'm not, because if you feel me, whatever LeBron does, it's obviously way better. He is a great actor. Just look at him flopping. 100% Jose, just like the way you can't really speak English. But I'm not gonna go out of control. I'm not gonna compare it, because again, whatever LeBron does, it's clearly better than anything Michael Jordan can do. So I'm not even gonna do that, because MJ's already at a disadvantage. They are like the Yankees. I have an uphill battle, bro. It's worse for MJ, bro. Like, at least you guys have somewhere of a start. My guy on floor one, and I'm on the top of Trump Towers waving at him like, "Yo, you down there?" And he's gonna have to, elevator broken. He need the stairs to get up. So I'm not gonna compare it. I think it's gonna be nice. I'm just gonna take it for what it is. That's it. I'm not gonna be like, I'm gonna look at it. I'm like, ignore the fact that like there's another spaceship. I'm gonna take it for what it is, and I'm just gonna enjoy it. I'm telling you right now, LeBron James haters are all of a sudden going to be they're going to be movie critics all of a sudden. Yeah. They're going to be movie and the same people are going to say this movie is horrible, think Slumdog Millionaire was a masterpiece, that The Sopranos is horrible, and that Titanic is overrated. So if someone tells you this movie's awful, ask them what they think about other films, and you will see that they don't like it solely because it's LeBron, but how the movie is, I have high expectations of it. I think it's going to be good. I saw the cast list. I see a lot of nice guys. I see a lot of names. I saw Kyrie was in it, which is wild to me, because I thought him and Bron was beefing, because Kyrie was like, oh, I don't want to play with him no more. They was calling him, I'm sorry, Bron, take me back. So it is what it is. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm definitely going to enjoy it. I'm definitely going to go see it. But like I said, do not compare this to the first one. Look at this like its own standalone thing and just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, and it looks like we lost Sander right where he's about to go. But yeah, Pride, I'm just like you. I'm going to go watch it. I'm going to go in with an open mind and just pretend that the Space Jam first one doesn't even exist, because this is not like Shrek 1 and Shrek 2, where you got to watch Shrek 1 to unshrek Shrek 2. No, these two movies are completely different. One does not follow the other. So if you never watched the first Space Jam, it's okay, because this one is completely different. MJ doesn't even exist in this universe. So I do think that LeBron and his team, obviously, everything that they do turns out to be great. So I think that LeBron and the production of this film, everything is just going to turn out amazing. You know, you mentioned some of the cast members. It's very diverse. You got woman in there too, with Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird, which kind of just opens up the whole realm just to everybody. Everybody just come watch this. It's very beautiful to witness Sander. So, yeah, I think this movie is going to be just as good, if anything, and I will just enjoy it just as much, because it's really not about MJ or LeBron. It's about, are we going to save the world from the aliens again?
That's it.
Yeah, 100%. There's no reason to compare both of these movies. It's like trying to compare a rapper in the 90s and comparing a rapper that in the 2012s. Like, there's no point in trying to compare them. So I think it's going to be great. You know, everything the man touches is solid gold. The man is an entrepreneur. He's doing his thing. I respect it. Like, he was in a few movies before this one, so he has some experience in acting. You know, and Michael had a little bit of experience in commercials before he started in the movie. So he had a few commercials. They both did their thing. Again, I'm not going to compare these two movies. They're completely two different styles. This guy, everything is done digitally. And in the old movie, it was like literally something warped into another world. So it's two different things. For a lot of the LeBron haters, guess what? I don't even want to hear a LeBron hater talk about the movie, because guess what? If you hate the man so much, you shouldn't even be watching the movie. What are you doing? You understand what I'm saying? So don't watch the movie. If I hear anybody that says, oh, this movie was horrible, and you're a LeBron James fan, you're lying to yourself. You're 100% lying to yourself. But, dude, it's whatever, man. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to take Alec to go see it. Probably, you know, just take a little fan to go see it or whatever, or even enjoy it at home, because I think you could even stream it too on HBO Max. So it's gonna, it's phenomenal. The dude, this day and age, he's gonna break the record. This movie, I guarantee you, is gonna set box office records. So I'm happy for it. LeBron is expanding his horizon, you know, just making sure that his name is gonna be ringing bells forever. This is one of those things. Because before this, everybody still knew what Space Jam was, even though it was like over 25 years ago, and people still even watch Space Jam because it's a great movie. This is going to be another one of those things. This is going to be one of those iconic things that LeBron James puts on his resume, and we're going to forever remember it. For those that hate LeBron, don't even bother watching it. For those that love movies and love LeBron, go ahead and watch it, because I guarantee you're going to enjoy it.
If you're a basketball fan, just don't watch it. That's it. That's going to be the rule. If you like basketball, go home. This is not for you, because this, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy because, like, this is a movie that, yeah, sure, LeBron's on the cover, but he's not the only main character.
He's like, not the main character.
There's 15 and exactly. This, like, Bugs is the dude. You feel
exactly.
me? So everyone's exactly. gonna come in. I'm gonna tell you this right now. LeBron's gonna miss a shot, and people are gonna go, that's why he's not the GOAT. I'm gonna tell you that right now. He's gonna miss a shot. His job is gonna be, yo, LeBron, you're going to get the ball, you're going to dribble, you're going to miss the shot, so that way we can have like a sad moment. He's going to do that, and not to mention names, but our boy Jose is going to be in screaming in a theater full of children. That's why Jordan better than him. I'm kidding you not, bro. I'm telling you.
I can see a scenario, Pride, where LeBron drives in, gets by, and hits Bugs Bunny with a wide open three. Bugs Bunny splashes the three, and Skip Bayless is going to come out. Why are you dancing, LeBron?
Even in the movie, he can't take the shot.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? I see it coming. I see it coming. So, like, again, just enjoy the movie. Like, if you don't like LeBron, they're still going to go see the movie. You shouldn't see it, but they're going to go see it, right? Just sit down, right? While you're watching the movie, that's not LeBron James. That's Thomas Stonehand. That's what we're going to call him. That's Thomas Stonehand. Enjoy the movie with, like Space Jam starring Thomas Stonehand. Just enjoy it like that.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it like that. Like,
before I move on to our Blazer predictions, because I'm very excited for today, I gotta leave two things. One, people, stop sweating Lola Bunny. She's a damn digital bunny, all right? Let her be. Yeah. And two, as much as I love LeBron, he'll never touch those Space Jam Jordan Retro 11s that I love so, so much. Oh, I need another pair in my life.
So MJ, your GOAT then? MJ, your GOAT?
He my shoe GOAT.
That's a PJ Tucker number two, huh?
PJ Tucker number one, bro.
Now, he the one with the shoes, but when it comes to athletes that release shoes,
MJ's that guy. MJ do have some shoes that slap too hard.
He got way too hard. And you know what also slaps? Our Blazing Predictions, brought to you by Rocky Hill Accountants, with over 35 years of combined experience. Make sure you guys have licensed professionals handling your financials. Make sure you ask for Haiti and let her know that her friends at Clover Crest Media Group sent you, and especially the Stir the Pot crew, because, you know, we do her solid. She scratches our back, we scratch hers. But yeah, Sander, what you got for me on this weekend prediction?
Well, we got a good weekend ahead of us. We got a UFC fight night, and I got my boy Islam Makhachev on the fight night card. He's fighting in the main event. He's going to be fighting Thiago Moises. And I got
my boy, baby Habib.
I got my boy winning unanimous decision. But guess what? It's not going to be a unanimous decision where you're like, damn, that was a good fight. No, that was a complete domination. That's what I have. I have complete obliteration. He's going to win every single round, just straight up mollywop Moises. Because Moises coming into this fight talking a little bit of smack, thinking he's the next thing up in the UFC. But we all know Islam Makhachev, you call him baby Khabib, baby goat. This dude, after he runs through
Yes, baby Khabib, not no baby goat. That's Khabib.
Khabib is your goat, supposedly. So
he a baby goat.
But Dustin's his goat.
Oh, yeah.
Dustin, he's my goat.
Dustin got more pull than Mahomes right now. That's all
100%.
That's all I'm saying right now.
There's only one guy I come home to, bro, and that's Mahomes.
And Dustin drops you off at home. I don't want to hear it. Dustin drops you off.
You go to Mahomes with Dustin.
But who am I sleeping with, though? I wake up next to Mahomes.
And then at night, you wake up with Dustin.
With a good morning text from Dustin. Don't try and play. But nah, pride though, nonetheless though, this fight is going to elevate, I think, Makhachev to a top five fight. If he wins this, he'll get a top five contender next fight. And then maybe he'll get a fight for the number one contender. And then you'll see by the end of next year, Islam Makhachev is going to be holding a belt.
As long as he dominates. Like, if he dominates, then they're gonna put a rocket ship on this kid and they're launching him to the moon. Because he's got it. He's got all the stuff. So he comes out with a dominant performance. He definitely going to be top five. And his next fight definitely is going to be for a number one contendership.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pride. You know, I've seen this guy fight a number of times now. He's exciting to watch. I feel like every time I see him, I feel like he just has like this body language. Like, I'm going to beat this guy. He can't beat me.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Like, he comes out and he's in his mind, he's like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
But he says it's so calm. Like, so calm. It's almost like I almost feel safe. It's like, I'm going to die now. Okay. Like, that's the kind of vibe he sends off.
You die now.
Yeah, it's weird. But nah, like I say, as long as he dominates, kid's definitely going on his way up.
What you got, Pride?
Okay. Team USA, don't let me down.
Oh.
They're going to win. They're going to beat Spain. I'm saying this.
He said it with no conviction.
There's none at all. None at all. This prediction is like.
Oh, God. Before I just want to cut you off real quick. Right, it's baseball related. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. already started hitting home runs.
Yeah. By the way, we scored.
I thought you were going to say that was Tyler Hero on the screen for a second.
Yo, he kind of does look like him, number 14.
Oh, no way! Yo, Tyler Hero got tats? That's lit.
You're on the wrong team, cuz.
But now, look, man, there's no conviction in what I'm saying at all. This right here, everything I'm going to say, if you allow me a moment, I am now speaking towards the heavens. And if anyone up there hears, please bless me. Because this team is... horrible. Seems horrible. Okay? Horrible. Kyle McGee coming in to save the day. So we're kind of beat right now, bro. We got the star Shaq and the Fool to come in and put the cape on, bro. Like, I'm going to hope we got to figure it out. That's the vibe I'm going in. I'm going in with the vibe that this team, because everyone in the imams on this team does the same thing. They all ISO. When dude's shot can't fall, there's no chemistry. There's no plays being ran. No one wanted to play defense. Jason Tatum, for as much as I love him, bro, you sneeze on him, he takes three steps back.
Doesn't it kind of piss you off that Pop is the coach and this is happening,
bro? To be honest, bro, this falls. I give it 40% the fault of the players, and 60 on Greg Popovich, because when you're a coach of that stature. A coach on the Mount Rushmore, like on the Mount Rushmore of coaches, and for you to
You're a little choppy.
You want to just repeat that again?
Yeah, Popovich sits in the table with Bill Belichick and Nick Saban, like.
And Phil Jackson, you know, I definitely agree to your point, Pride. You know, a lot of times, you know, we look at Greg Popovich as this top tier coach, you know, 5-time champion, definitely very credible in this league. So it does make you question, like, oh, did Tim Duncan just make you? because now we're seeing a few seasons now where they haven't, he hasn't had Tim, and this team has one, missed the playoffs after that 20 plus year streak, and two, got into the play-in and got beat. And now you got a USA team. Granted, that's not the best US team that we've had in the number of years that we've had creating these teams, but you got sure as hell enough talent to go out there and win games, exhibition or not. And Popovich, this is falling at your feet, bro.
Yeah, 100%. First and foremost, do I sound a little better now?
Yes.
Yeah.
You sound okay, fantastic. But yeah, I mean, you should have said it, because look, I've came out and I've said Greg Popovich is the greatest coach of all time. Maybe I'm being a little too much in the moment, but I'm kind of taking a step back off that
train.
Watch it a little bit. Because now what I'm seeing is, like you said, it's like the Bill Belichick effect. Did Tom make you? Or were you guys working it together? Now people are asking, did Tim Duncan make you? Or were you guys kind of like, you know, doing it half and half? That's a legitimate case. Like, look, and like you said, this isn't the best team. This isn't the best talent that Team USA has ever had. But this is enough to be better. This definitely is more than enough talent that we need to win. And again, the issue comes down to everyone wants to play the same way. And when Dame can't hit a shot, he gives it to KD. KD can't hit a shot, he gives it to Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum can't hit a shot, they go to Beal. Beal can't hit a shot, they try Bam. Bam can't get a shot. And it's like, I understand we got ISO guys.
Yeah.
Well, thank God, because at this point, bro, I'm hoping with him out, with JaVale McGee in there, I can't believe I'm saying this.
They need a JaVale. It's true.
Bro, because he's actually a generic big man who needs plays, I actually think this is the best thing for Team USA, because now they're going to have to run plays. So now when guys start missing shots, now they have to be like, okay, we got to run plays. And hopefully that will get them out of it, because it's to the point, bro, like, fam. Bro, a play is something you run, bro. We're not in the opera. You're not sitting at the high ten. You're not watching a play, fam. Like I don't know what y'all doing, bro. But Team USA need to get it together. Listen, bro, if Team USA lets me down, I might move to Canada. I'm going to Nigeria. We going to Nigeria, bro. That's it. I'm going to, because at this point, bro, we not winning. I'm an Aussie, mate. That's how Australia gonna, like. No, I'm going to Spain. No, vosotros vice. Like, bro, I gotta learn Spaniard, bro. I gotta learn Spanish, bro.
Like, yeah, so US basketball team, bro, just know that you got a citizen on the line, bro, right now. So you guys better win, or we're gonna lose a citizen of this great country. What?
Arroyo just homered.
Arroyo.
Home run. 3-0. Duh. Yankees losing. I don't care what
no one. You can do the shirt thing one more time.
Mira, lo media rojo, coño. Ese como lo estoy jugando.
I love it. Like I said, I don't see us winning this weekend series. So anyway, so it's just more pain and suffering for me. But guys, my prediction this week, you know, I mentioned this a little bit earlier. I didn't want to give it away too much because I didn't want to ruin my prediction. But I really got a feeling that the Bucks, with this momentum that they got, are going to go into Phoenix. Giannis is going to drop a cool 35+, and they're going to get a dub. And the Phoenix Suns are going to have to really play outside themselves, or they're going to get beat in six games. Because what I've seen the last couple games, like I said, I might be prisoner of the moment right now, but I really like what I've seen from Milwaukee as of late, and I really don't like what I've seen from Phoenix. Sorry. Chris Paul, to me, is the biggest thing. I feel like his play has deteriorated as these games have followed. And that, to me, is a big concern, because I want to give Chris Paul a lot of credit for getting this team there. Now, I think that Booker could have the game of his life, but if Chris Paul is only giving you 12 and Bridges is going back to giving you 10, and if you're – and the whole thing with the maybes, if Jay Crowder is going to be your running mate, then if you're Phoenix, you're going to find yourselves even at home struggling behind this Milwaukee team, because we all know this. Superstars can win you one game. And if it comes on a game 7, Giannis is going to be the best player on that court, and maybe he could be good enough to win you a game 7, but I'm going to stick with game 5. I should put game 5 on the thing. I'll put game 6. I don't know why. Sorry, everybody. But something in my gut just tells me that Milwaukee is going to win game 5. I don't know what it is.
So in order for you to win, they got to win game 5, and you got to drop 35.
Well, I think that he's just 35. They're going to win the game.
Okay, so 35 is just your extra thing. You're just saying they win. I don't know, man. I don't, because I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. I think it's more likely Chris Paul gives you 15 with like 5 turnovers than it is for Drew Holiday or Chris Middleton to step up like that in Phoenix. You see what I'm saying? Like,
because the thing is,
you know what? Because I get your point about with Jay Crowder being the running mate. That is true. If Jay Crowder is your money running mate, you are kind of hit. I'm not gonna lie there. But again, what's more likely to happen? Jay Crowder, like Chris Paul having another horrible night and being even like even more sloppy with the ball, and Jay Crowder being the running mate, or Giannis having a solo game? Because honestly, that's what I think is coming. I think Giannis will have a great game. I think he's going to do his thing. 35 plus points. You're not bugging for that. You're not. But the thing
you're right. And I think that I'm not sure if it's going to be Middleton or it's going to be Drew. Shit, it could even be Brooke. One of those guys is going to give me 20 plus and make it very interesting.
But again, but you can't have Brooke as your running mate.
Because Brooke is
running the same thing with having Jay Crowder. You see what I'm saying? So that's kind of where it's like, you know what?
When I say that, though, if Giannis gets me close to 40, I only need one of those guys to take the ride a little bit with him. That's all he needs. He just needs somebody to be flirting with 20 points if he's going to give you close to 40. That's all I'm saying. And the thing that really has me big question mark around the Phoenix Suns, guys, DeAndre Ayton, great player, pride. You say he's going to be a top 3 center in the next couple of years, and I back you up 100% with that. I love DeAndre Ayton. I think that I forgot the coach's name. Sorry. Monty Williams?
Yeah, Monty Williams.
Right, Monty Williams. I think he's being a little too confident in DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre, you got the body. You can stop Giannis, yada, yada, yada. That's true. But Giannis is still averaging 30-plus in this series. What do we all know you have to do against Giannis? Build that wall. And for some reason, Monty Williams just shows too much confidence in this team and says, we don't need that against him. We're going to be able to win these games without doing that. I hope for their sake, going back to Phoenix, they're like, all right, let's swallow a little bit of pride and build that wall and make Giannis beat us shooting the ball because we know he can't. And at the moment, they're not even letting him do that. They're just letting him get to the rim at will.
But the thing is, they don't have the size really to build that wall. You know, that's kind of the problem. In order to beat Giannis, you need the wall. But unfortunately, they don't have that size. So it's kind of like – because every time you see it, whenever they take DeAndre, you know, or he's in foul trouble or they want to rest him, whatever the case may be, when he's out on the floor, they go small. Dumb small. They just – you know what I mean? They don't have really that size to match up with this. So, again, Giannis will ball out. I'm not – you know what I mean? 35-plus, you're not bugging for thinking that. But, again – Chris Middleton's really your guy. Drew Holiday really your guy. Like, they haven't really – and, again, I'm disappointed in Holiday because I'm a massive Holiday fan. I am. But, unfortunately, it's just every time they're supposed to, like, answer the phone's ringing, they answer it, like, 20% of the time. You know what I mean? And, like, with that type of inconsistency, you're not really going to go far. So, it's going to be tough, bro. I'm telling you, man. Like I said, bro, I don't see it. I don't see them winning. I don't see them winning at all.
Well, I'm hoping I could come in here on Monday and they win that game. And, Sander, I was like this close to taking your Skittles bet, but I told myself on Monday evening after I lost 3 things of Skittles on the home run derby, I'm like, yo, I am not betting any more Skittles on this week because I can't afford it.
You can earn your Skittles back. Earn your Skittles back.
I'm too afraid, Pride.
Earn your Skittles back, bro.
You said no guts, no glory. I got no nuts. I got no glories right now. This is Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, check out our Twitter page ran by the man Pride himself at Stir the Pot Sport and Twitch.tv/Clovercrest Media Group. Check out our website, www.clovercrestmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports. And make sure you guys check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts under CMG Sports. Stir the Pot Sports will be right there. Man, I got a lot riding on this game 5 now, guys. Now I'm a little sweaty.
Wait, what time is the game?
I think it's at 8 o'clock on Sunday.
Sunday, 8 o'clock?
I want to say. I can confirm that for you right now because I'd rather tell you the truth than tell you a lie.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, I kind of want to try to coax you into a bet because I feel like that'll be an easy bet, but I feel like it's
okay. I lied. The game is actually on Saturday at 9.
So tomorrow at 9? So it's going to be on a Saturday? You know what? Yeah, Suns winning. Matter of fact, and those we would have bet. Suns winning tomorrow, and they winning at Bucks. You taking that bet?
Ooh. I told myself not this week. Otani cost me way too many. Okay. And I don't know who this guy was that he put up, but oh my gosh, Sander, Joey has killed you with this one because he looks just like you. It's so cool. You got the little Canada thing. The only thing you were missing was the Canada flag on you.
That would have been hilarious.
I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett, Sander Sanchez. We'll catch you guys on Monday. Yes,